Editorial note. With the situation in the city deteriorating by the moment, Lord General Zivan and the troops under his command were growing increasingly impatient to do something, notwithstanding the explicit instructions I had given to the contrary. Governor Grice's heavy-handed attempt to seize control of the Imperial Expeditionary Force had tried their patience to the limit, and, as a man of honour, Zivan clearly felt the slight of the accusations levelled against him. His subsequent actions may therefore be understood, if not entirely condoned. What follows is a summarised partial transcript of the meeting he held with the senior officers of the Expeditionary Force, taken from the hololithic recording made by the equipment in the conference room, supplemented by a few personal observations subsequently gleaned from some of those present. Most notably, Savant Mott, who represented the Inquisition in my absence, Colonel Castine of the 597th Valhallan, and Erasmus Donnelly of the Imperial Diplomatic Service.
The Lord General is clearly irritated at this point, but keeping his temper by focusing on the issue at hand. He begins by asking Colonel Castine to confirm the instructions I gave her over the Voxlink regarding the Governor's demands. "That is correct, sir," Castine replies, seeming cool and efficient despite being the youngest regimental commander present. Only someone very skilled at the interpretation of body language could detect her nervousness. "You have complete command of this army by the express order of the Inquisition."
"Good." Zivan's voice is clipped and decisive. "Then I propose to calm the situation by removing the primary cause of the problem."
"The Inquisitor was also quite explicit that we cannot engage the Tau under any circumstances." Castine is clearly nervous here about appearing to contradict her commander, but her sense of duty outweighs the prospect of any personal consequences, a commendable trait which stood her in good stead throughout her career. Zivan concedes the point.
"I wasn't referring to the Tau," he reassures her and everyone else at the table. "I meant that cretinous excuse for a governor."
There is general approval of this proposal. Several of the officers present suggest courses of action ranging from arrest to assassination. Eventually, the mood calms as Mott outlines the Inquisition's position on the matter.
"It does indeed appear that Governor Grice is ultimately responsible for this situation," he agrees. "But there is still some ambiguity as to the degree of his culpability."
He begins to quote legal precedent at length until Donnelly, who is familiar with the savant's peculiar mental processes, is able to steer him back to the topic at hand.
"In short," he eventually concludes, "we would rather have him available to account for his actions."
"If the Inquisition wants him, they can have him," Zivan says. "But in my opinion, his removal is a necessary prerequisite to restoring the situation to any kind of stability."
Donnelly agrees.
"The Tau are also in agreement with this proposition," Donnelly adds,
which throws the meeting into turmoil for a few moments until Zivan is able to restore order.
"You've discussed it with them?" he asks.
"Informally," Donnelly admits. "But we still have a residue of goodwill, thanks to the actions of Commissar Kane, and I've been attempting to build on this. If we send troops to remove the governor, I believe they won't interfere."
"Tell that to the PDF,"
someone shouts.
"All the civilians they're butchering!"
Donnelly stares him down.
"They recognise the distinction between us and the local militia," he says. "By their logic, the PDF attacked them first, so they're fair game, and the civilians merely collateral damage. They can be persuaded that it's in everyone's interests to back off, I'm sure."
"I'd like to see how," Colonel Mostrew of the 12th Field Artillery cuts in,
Mott begins to explain.
"Tau psychology is very peculiar by human standards. They crave stability and are terrified at the prospect of any loss of order. In fact, it would be no exaggeration to say that for them, it's as disturbing as we would find an eruption of chaos."
This casual reference to the great enemy creates considerable consternation. Zivan restores order with some difficulty.
"So you're saying that the situation in the city right now is essentially their worst nightmare come true?" he asks.
Mott agrees.
"Anarchy, rioting, civil war between rival imperial factions, nothing fixed or reliable. If someone wanted to goad them into reckless behaviour, they could arrange nothing better."
A few of the more astute officers, Castine among them, pick up on the unspoken assumption behind those words.
"If they're so panicked and disorientated," Zivan asks, "what makes you think they'd give us the benefit of the doubt?"
"They have this dogma they call the greater good," Donali explains. "If we can promise them that the governor's removal will improve the situation, they're as bound to let us try as we would be to accept an oath sworn in the emperor's name." The audio recording is swamped for a few seconds by sharp intakes of breath and mutterings about heathen heresies. Zivan brings the meeting back to order.
"Very well," he concludes. "Make overtures to them and see if they'll swallow it."
Donali bows and leaves, making the sign of the Aquila. Zivan turns to Castine.
"Colonel," he says, "the 597th have been more deeply involved in these events than any other regiment, and your commissar seems to have the confidence of the Inquisition as well as the Xenos. If we can cut a deal with the Tau, you'll supply the troops to carry the operation out."
Castine salutes, looking stunned, and manages to respond in the affirmative.